Hello, Marion Pallister, Vice Chair of Justice and Peace Scotland here. In this 40th anniversary year of Justice and Peace Scotland, I've been looking back at the issues that have topped the organisation's agenda over the decades. Because some of those issues are still with us, it would be easy to become despondent, to be convinced that we haven't made any progress at all. But the truth is that those issues have evolved, taken on new shapes, affected different people in different ways. It isn't that Justice and Peace Scotland hasn't made inroads into tackling injustices. It's more that, as the world becomes a more complex place, the injustices themselves become more complex. You know that ancient myth about Sisyphus, that poor guy tasked with pushing a boulder up a hill, and every time he succeeded in getting the boulder to the top, it rolled back down again and he had to start all over again. Well, one problem that I feel is a Sisyphean task is poverty. We thought we had it sussed. Some of us remember marching in our thousands to make poverty history. The march is now history. But poverty has evolved into a nasty creature we wouldn't have imagined 40 years ago when Justice and Peace Scotland came into being. Then, when Margaret Thatcher's policies closed the doors on heavy industry in Scotland, poverty was a condition endured by the unemployed. It was what happened to families when the miners went on strike to try to save their industry and their wives had to set up soup kitchens to make sure the children were fed. In 2019, Justice and Peace Scotland helped achieve an extra £5 in family benefits after a long battle. Our indefatigable Frances Gallagher sent us out with laminated slogans to get pictures of supporters proclaiming that families can't wait, and I'm grateful to people in my own parish in Argyll and the Isles for taking part in the campaign and posing for pictures. It really worked. But the poverty in 2019 that cries out for an extra fiver affects people who are working, people who may have two jobs but whose zero-hour contracts and minimum wage remuneration sees them seeking help from food banks, a concept that was unthinkable four decades ago. This evolution of poverty needs to be tackled by an even stronger Justice and Peace voice, by our collective voice. And I go back again to our Bishop President's words in his January letter when, echoing Pope Francis, he urged Catholics to become politically active in order to bring about good governance. For me, the most telling part of Bishop Bill Nolan's January Justice and Peace letter was when he said that politicians are influenced by public opinion and that we must all ask ourselves, how can I influence public opinion if I never express an opinion in public? How can I influence government and politicians if I never let them know what I think? While it's a bit of a triumph for all the organisations that came together to lobby for that extra fiver, the bigger fight for Justice and Peace Scotland, for Catholics, for people of all faiths and none, is to seek to create a fairer playing field. Our voices have to be the voices for those who slave in warehouses and fast food joints for a pittance, while their ultimate bosses manipulate their own taxes so that they maintain the status quo of a minuscule bunch of people having more wealth than the rest of the world put together. What other issues have ebbed and flowed during the 40 years of Justice and Peace Scotland's existence? 40 years ago, I was working as a journalist and travelled to my first refugee camp. It was on the border between Thailand and Cambodia, or Kampuchea as it was known briefly at the time. The so-called tented city, erected by the Red Cross, became home to combatants from each side of the bloody, brutal conflict taking place in Kampuchea. Unaccompanied children, of course, suffered most, although the physical and emotional trauma of losing half a face, a leg, a family, would remain with the adult refugees for the rest of their days, however long or short that may have been. Rejection of refugees fleeing from conflict is nothing new. The Thais certainly didn't want this influx of dependent people in their country, and over the past four decades, we have seen reactions to the needs of refugees range from indifference to hostility. My work as a journalist required me to offer the facts and allow people to make up their own minds. That's hard when you interview young girls who've been raped as a weapon of war, women who've just witnessed the throats of their husbands and sons slashed open, elderly folk who've walked untold miles on ever-swelling feet to reach the so-called safety of a muddy refugee camp, or a converted school packed tight with bunk beds that made the nightly dash to the basement away from bombing raids a grotesque obstacle race. I know the burden of refugees can place on a receiving country if all that is offered is a tented city and food parcels. I know also, having witnessed returning refugees arriving in Kosovo after the conflict there, that refugees want to go home. Those who can't go home? Well, remember the Syrians who were sent to the island of Butte? When their status was clarified, many left for the Central Belt, just like so many islanders do, to seek work. Some set up businesses on the island. We make a rod for our own backs when we set refugees apart, take forever to process their status, even to demonise them. Political policies that deliberately set out to create a hostile environment for refugees, asylum seekers and migrants, three very separate groups of people, each with their own particular set of difficulties, are what Justice and Peace Scotland must speak out against in 2019. Catholic social teaching emphasises that we're all brothers and sisters, all deserving of a place at the table. Because these are not devolved issues, it's perhaps all the more important that we tell our political representatives our views and speak out on behalf of those whose voice is silenced by hostile policies. Of course, human trafficking and modern slavery existed 40 years ago, another of our difficulties these days. But it's only in the past few years that our awareness of this has been raised to push us to act. Nationally and locally, Justice and Peace Scotland has been working with the charity Hope for Justice, which made it onto the national news bulletins this month, when its work bringing a modern slavery gang to justice was acknowledged. The court said that modern slavery and people trafficking are happening today in plain sight. But because the methods of the gang masters instill such fear into their victims, that woman in the nail bar, the men in the car wash, the agricultural workers, the guys on the fishing ships, they'll present a smiling mask to hide their reality. So these are difficult crimes to bust, but it can be done with the help of organisations such as Hope for Justice. And when the perpetrators come to court, they have been dealt with severely. But if we are to seek justice for the victims of modern slavery and people trafficking, it's not all about bringing the traffickers to court. Remember the hostile environment deliberately created, even boasted about, by the Westminster government? Well, it also applies to victims of trafficking. I was horrified to read in The Guardian a report about a Chinese woman who'd been trafficked and who bravely found the opportunity to seek help from the police, but ended up in Yarlswood Detention Centre, where asylum seekers are held in appalling conditions. As an organisation, We have sought the closure of Scotland's detention centre for asylum seekers, Dungavell in Lanarkshire. But how despicable that people seeking safety in this country should be treated as criminals, and how utterly shocking that a woman who has been trafficked should also be imprisoned rather than taken to a place of safety where she could be supported. Little wonder that she said she'd escaped one hell only to find herself in another. It was Marie Antoinette, consort of Francis Louis XIV, who allegedly said, "Let them eat cake," when the poor of Paris rioted against the lack of bread. In the 4 decades of Justice and Peace Scotland's existence, the political reactions to issues of poverty, migration, and increasing refugee and asylum seeker numbers have evolved into a sort of Marie Antoinette mantra. Boris Johnson and others have told us what a good thing food banks are, illustrating as they do the wonderful charitable spirit of the British people. The Home Office has offered Marks and Spencer's vouchers to civil servants to lose the documents proffered by asylum seekers that would prove their right to asylum. The terminally ill are being told they should continue to work if the prognosis is they'll survive another 6 months rather than go on benefits. And there's a poor wee trafficked woman hearing the cell door clang shut when she eventually escapes her tormentors. Our reactions as supporters of the idea of seeking peace by working for justice, we've had to evolve too. And yet, they should be no different than the reactions called for by Jesus 2,000 years ago. In that January letter at the start of our 40th anniversary year, Bishop Nolan said, "Christians are called to be a voice for the voiceless, a voice upholding the dignity of every human person, a voice proclaiming the values of Jesus Christ, a voice urging governments and politicians and those in power to act always for the common good of all humanity." Bishop Nolan added, "We are that voice. Sometimes we may shout, sometimes we may whisper, but we are a voice that should never be silent." And by we, he meant each and every one of us. Each and every one of us who can stand up and be counted, stand up and make our voice heard for all of those people, that great range of people who need our voice, a voice that only we can make heard. So I'm asking you tonight if you'll join me in a wee prayer that asks help for us to do just that. Lord, guide us to use our voices effectively so that we can help restore the human dignity of the trafficked woman, the child fleeing a war-torn home country, the man trekking across continents to give his family a better life because climate change has robbed his soil of the bread of life. Help us, Lord, to know when to shout for justice, when to whisper words of peace and reconciliation. And we ask all of this, Lord, in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening.